Welcome to Echoes from the Empire.
How I became a murderer. I'm in prison. Every day I can hear the sound of the keys when a cell is opened, and I firmly believe I've never heard a better sound. I've been inside this dirty, badly smelling cell for 3 months now. I have never been outside, and I have never felt better or freer than right now. You might wonder how I can really believe something that sounds so insane, but I deserve to be in here. I am a sinner. Not only because I am a murderer, but also because I feel a lot better than before. At first you have to know that I am a Kenyan and grew up in post-colonial Kenya in the 50s and 60s with a father and a mother. Both of them are from our tribe, and whereas my mom still believes in the faiths of the tribe, although she converted to Christianity on paper, my dad converted and became a Calvinist. Now he's a preacher. Ever since I was little, my dad attended to my education, to my Christian education. He even forbade my mom to tell me stories of the tribe. I always feared him and never answered back to him. Before I was born, there had been a time when my father was not a preacher and when he truly loved my mother. But after a while, she became pregnant and they had not been married then. Suddenly, my father found the path of God, and in his eyes, I was the result of his and mom's sin of premarital sex. So since I was born, he tried to make up for his sin by educating me in the right way, the way of God. This is why I have always been polite. I was a model of humility and moral perfection for everyone. As for the tribe, they knew I would never betray them, and my father thought I would never spend my time wandering around like some young men of the tribe. And most of all, I never thought I would. Could ever become a sinner in the same way he did. But I did. A girl of the tribe, maybe the most beautiful girl of all, loved me, and honestly, I loved her as well. And then the day of the world's end came. Of my world's end. My beloved Mamuhu told me she was pregnant. How should I ever tell my father, for not only it was a girl of the tribe, and she had been circumcised. He would never understood, and he would have abandoned me. Moreover, I had planned, no, not me, my father had planned for me to go to university to Makerere, to get an even better education than I had received up to this point in my life. After 3 months of silence, Mamuhu tried to blackmail me, to tell my parents the truth, and said that otherwise she would do it. Neither for love nor for money I could have done this, and I knew that since she had told me she was pregnant. Maybe I thought everything would turn out okay, although I should have known better. Or maybe I thought I would already be gone when people would see she was pregnant. Or I simply hoped she would lose the baby. I don't know, but nevertheless, I knew wild horses couldn't drag me to tell my father, or even my mother, for I feared she would tell my father the truth. So at same point, Mamuhu set me an ultimatum, to tell my parents, because she feared her parents would realize she was pregnant sooner or later. This is why she gave me one more day, and I was a bit calmer, but not for long. At night, I slept very badly. I dreamed the worst dream I had ever, and the only one I will never forget. It was like a vision of the future, but the moment I woke up, I didn't realize. It was a real and thought it had only been a dream. And I did until it was too late. I dreamed about circumcision, and it was about a man who left the country he lived in. I couldn't identify this man, but I saw him walking with another man until a ghost came. I was sure it was the ghost of the land he had just left that pulled at his man. Then another one came and pulled also at the poor man. Suddenly there were a lot of ghosts pulling the man in different directions, and then there was this girl. I knew the girl was alone and had no place to go, and I saw the man wanted to join her, but couldn't. When I woke up, sweating, I didn't recognize whom I had dreamed of. Now I know. I relived this dream over and over again. And I came to the conclusion it was me I dreamed about, and about Vamuhu, and my personal situation. I was the man the ghosts pulled at. One of the ghosts was a symbol for my home. That was the first ghost. Then there was a ghost as a symbol for my new home, the university. It was the second one. Then there was one for my father, and so on. Of course, Vamuhu was the girl in the dream who had no place to go, and when the man in the dream lost this way, I should have known that I should be careful that day. But I was not. Just before the catastrophe happened, I looked around me at my country. I saw that the village of Namuru was full of contrasts, like my life and my situation. Soon I left my home to meet Vamuhu, and when she came, I wanted to tell her my great idea, how I could solve the problem without losing my father's respect. I offered her money, 200 shillings, and I offered her more if she would not tell I was the father of the baby. In my opinion, it was the perfect and only solution. Then I could have gone to university, got closer to my father for the first time in my life, and I wouldn't have had to decide whether I go or I stay. She could have married whoever she wanted, and everything would have been perfect. But her only reaction was crying. I offered her more and more and more money, but it didn't work. I panicked, and suddenly my brain seemed to be out of order. And a second later, she lay on the ground next to me and didn't move. My hands around her neck. That was when I lost everything. My dad, my mom, my tribe, my possibility to go to university. Everything. Except the feeling of freedom. Now I am in prison. Locked in all day praying for forgiveness for what I did. But the pressure is gone. And I am free. Despite I am confined to this little cell.
Thanks for listening to Echoes from the Empire.